Our scripture lesson this morning is from Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verses 29 through 36. Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verses 29 through 36. Would you please stand for the reading of the Gospel? At this point, Jesus has been crucified and he is hanging on the cross. And those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he is calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Gracious God, during this Lenten season, as we journey with Jesus to the cross, and as we reflect upon the words that Jesus said on the cross, help us to see the awesome love that you have for us. Help us to hear your words today. May the Holy Spirit minister to us, open our eyes and our ears and all of our senses, so that the words that we hear will become for us a new insight, a point where we connect with you in deep relationship. We thank you for this privilege of being in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus is nailed to the cross. And he's been hanging there for some time. It's been about 6 hours. And one thing we need to understand is that for Jesus to speak while he's hanging on the cross, it requires great exertion. And that's why he only said 7 short statements in the 6 hours that he was hanging on the cross. When one is crucified, the very act of speaking is very painful. It is thought that death comes to those who are crucified through some combination of these: exhaustion, shock, buildup of fluid around the heart, and also in your lungs, and asphyxiation. I don't think we can even imagine the kind of pain he endured on the cross. You know, we just think that, oh, it must have been terrible. But I don't think none of us really even understand what terrible means. to speak while being crucified, he had to pull himself up by the nails on his wrist so that the diaphragm is expanded for enabling him to speak. When Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It comes from the depth of his pain, his feeling all alone. As we read in the scriptures, see, the crowd who were there, they began to mock him, hurling insults at him. The religious leaders, the priests and the Pharisees, they were also making fun of him. And not only them, the one who was hanging on the cross beside him was also making fun. So he is in this excruciating pain, and people all around him are also mocking him, hurling insults. So now he is experiencing the emotional pain. And on top of that, he is not feeling the presence of God. I'm sure Jesus has been kind of looking for him, trying to feel him in the midst of his pain, physical and emotional, like, God, save me. Maybe he might have prayed, like, just end this for me here. It's too much to bear. And he's not hearing. He's not hearing the answer. So Jesus cries out, my God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? This is sometimes called the cry of dereliction, or the cry of abandonment. That in that moment, Jesus felt alone, abandoned, not just by the people, but by God. It's hard for us to understand because we believe in the theology of Trinity, meaning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are one, inseparable. And so we don't know how come Jesus felt alone, separated. It may be that that's what he felt. The thoughts can be confusing. However, I am glad that Matthew and Mark thought it important enough to record it in the Gospels. How many of us have felt so alone, abandoned, and that God had forsaken them? When we are going through difficult times, when we are faced with losing a loved one, when we are watching our loved one die in pain, or when we are faced with situations where we don't want to be, but we are there, and there's no hope. When we are dealing with utter despair and hopelessness, and feels like God is not there, and we keep asking, where are you, God? Jesus knows exactly how we feel, because on that cross, that's what he felt. That's why he cried out, my God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Why are you not answering me? Why are you not helping me? See, oftentimes I see that whenever people experience those moments of feeling like they've been abandoned, sadly, they turn away from God. They become angry and say, God doesn't care. God is not there. If God was there, God would have done something. If God was there, how could God let me go through this all by myself? I see a lot of people turn away when they experience that feeling of abandonment. And the gospel writers are reminding us that in those times, we are not alone, because Jesus has been there. Jesus knows what it's like for us to be experiencing that. And Jesus is there with us. In those difficult times, in those times of aloneness, hopelessness, despair, we can turn to Jesus. And Jesus ministers to us. It's okay. See, during those times, God did not abandon me. And God will not abandon you now. I've been thinking a lot about Ed and Catherine this week, as you all know, that he was put on hospice care. And last night when Catherine called me, she said, I don't think it's going to be much longer. And so she asked if I could come over. They've been struggling for a long time, as you know. He's been struggling with cancer and with so much pain. And during those times, I'm sure they asked, my God, where are you? Where is the healing? When my father was going downhill after his bypass surgery, and he started to lose his capacities to the point where he was just laying there, not able to speak, not able to communicate, not able to even eat, swallow. And it just kind of dragged on. And, you know, that's the toughest thing I had to see. And as the months turned into years, I pray, my God, why? There's no life. It's so painful to watch a brilliant man on the bed. And I cried out to God, why? Where are you? When Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It wasn't just a protest, but it was a prayer. And it wasn't just a prayer, but it was also an act of worship. Because that statement was the first beginning of a psalm from Psalm 22. And so when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And maybe that was all the energy he had to say. But he was actually worshiping. Because if we read through the psalm, and I'm sure he knew that psalm very well, and everyone who were around him watching him die also knew that psalm. Any Jew would know that psalm. That is the psalm that was written by David while he was going through a difficult time being chased by his enemies. And so Jesus was actually worshiping on the cross. This is how that psalm reads. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. And if you read a little further on, the parallel of this psalm and what Jesus is experiencing is so uncanny. It says, I'm a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. That's exactly what's happening. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But the psalm does not end there. Though it begins darkly, the psalm grows into a note of faith and confidence that God had not abandoned David. And as Jesus goes through this psalm, I think Jesus is also praying the same thing, that God had not abandoned him. Because this is how this psalm continues. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. I will declare your name to my people in the assembly. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. So see how this psalm turns? See, when he was crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, it's the equivalent of any one of us, let's say at our deathbed, start singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And if we end it there, you all know what's coming after, right? You all know what I'm trying to say or what I'm trying to sing. So when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? At least for Jesus. It was not just crying out to God in pain and anger, but it was also worshiping God, knowing that although he is experiencing most excruciating pain, physically and emotionally, and even spiritually, he knows that this is not the end, but there is better things coming. This is how the psalm ends. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vow. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn. Do you hear the confident hope that death is not final, but the future generations will be told about what Jesus had done, the salvation that he brings. As Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus ministers to us and those around us who are walking through the darkest valley of their lives, who are going through the most difficult challenges in their lives, who feel that they are alone, who feel that there's no one who cares, who feel that God is not close by, reminding us that even in the midst of it, God is there because Jesus is there. Jesus has been there. Jesus knows where we are. And that prayer, that moments can be turned into moments of prayer and worship because we have the hope that God will not let those moments be our last, but deliver us and give us hope and new life. So who among us are in that place who needs to be reminded that they are not alone, but Jesus is with them? Who among us needs to hear the good news that death is not final, but there is hope, a new life, deliverance? As we hear Jesus' voice, we are also to go out and share this good news. Just as I've talked to, as we talked with Ryan, let us not forget to call on God with how many ever different voices, but always knowing that Jesus knows the most deepest of our pains. Amen.